Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory. You know, he broke into that second song there. I was like, oh, no, it's going to be one of them services. Glory. You know, I don't know if you like, you know, there's a thing in a man that doesn't like to cry, especially not in front of a whole group of people. Praise the Lord. But, you know, when the Lord moves on you, when you gain revelation, when you get understanding of what he did, you know, so many people look at us and they're like, why? They don't really understand why we do what we do. You know, there's some people that think that, you know, we do it for the riches and the glory. Hallelujah. Well, if you know anything about when we're not living in riches and glory, some people think we do it for the fame. Praise the Lord. We won't even allow a camera in here. That camera only takes you out to there, so yeah. It doesn't take us very far at all, and that's all the farther that I want it. We're not doing it so we can build some kind of kingdom. We're not building it for brownie points in heaven. Hallelujah. We don't do church because we're broken. We don't do church because we're lost. We do church because God, because of what God did, what God gave, what he paid for us to be able to do church. You know, people don't realize what is at stake. You know, we live in this country and we're kind of spoiled at times, and I'm not too upset with that. I'm glad that I don't have to go out every day wondering not if my house is going to get blown up. I'm glad that I don't have to live in a world every day where I don't know if I can say the things that I want to say or say the things that I need to say. Praise the Lord. I'm not. I don't feel so bad that I can come to church without somebody being out there with a gun telling me I can't. But you know, that's happening in this world. See, we take it a little bit for granted sometimes because we are a little bit spoiled. We don't understand the price that was paid for us to be here, praise the Lord. But you know, God, and of all days, especially today, Easter Sunday, is a day that when we need to consider these things, we need to think about what the Lord paid for us and why he paid it for us. Amen? He didn't do it just to save us. And unfortunately, the sad truth is, you know, most people that come to churches only come to churches once they're broken. They only come to church once they're hurting. But see, Jesus paid the price before you even existed. He never wanted people to hurt. You know, there's a way that you can live that you don't ever have to face the pains of life that most people have to face. You can look at all kinds of things differently if you're raised right. But see, we're not taught that anymore. And so church becomes a place where people come just to get fixed. They come just to, and then once they're fixed, a lot of times they're gone. But that's not what God intended. See, God had something more for us. And today we're going to talk about that. Today, today's message is called Victory of Life. Praise the Lord. You know, I want to take a moment and consider, you know, it was... I don't even know why this would make me emotional at all, what I'm about to say, but for whatever reason, it's there. But about three years ago, Easter Sunday, 3 years ago, we started the Mayville Church in the suites. And, you know, we came out and it was, there was a lot to get us there, we'll just say that. There was a lot to bring us into that place so where we could be there. And, I left there that day. My wife and I left there that day saying, "Dear Lord, please don't let us have to do it again." You understand, I wasn't a preacher. I wasn't a talker. I didn't like being in front of people. The first time I preached, I had a microphone, and I read verbatim everything that I said. And I stood there scared out of my wits because I didn't talk in front of people. I didn't like that. I didn't want to do that kind of thing. And when I say, I wasn't just joking. I mean, we literally were saying in the car on the way home, do we really have to do this again? But, you know, I want you to take a moment to look around and look at... what's sitting here today, you know, and there's, as I was preparing, I thought about so many of you in the the places where the Lord has brought you from and what he's done in your life, and so many of you in just such a short time, praise God. You know, I got to spend some time with my brother Cody yesterday, and, you know, and we were talking about that just as we, you know, when we were sent out, And even that Sunday, we couldn't see people like him. We couldn't see others, so many others out there. And I can't even see most of you, so right now, just I got to try to remember it all. But we couldn't see that. We didn't know, you know, what God had in store. And, you know, as we're about to launch into another church, and as we're about to continue in this church, there's so much. There's so much. You know, I remember people. There's several people that even came here that maybe came for different reasons, and have even said to me afterwards, they're like, you know, I didn't even know that I needed it, and then I came, and realized that I did. And you know, that's so often the case, is that people don't realize their need for God. They don't realize that they needed a Savior. Because some people are living fine in the world. I didn't. You know, I didn't live fine in the world at all. I lived a horrible life. I lived a terrible life. It was all messed up, and everything I did was wrong. But I know that not everybody faces that. But I'm going to tell you, knowing what I know now, I don't live a horrible life anymore. I live a very joyful life. Every day, full, praise the Lord, and abounding. And my future is bright, and I'm excited for everything that's coming, praise the Lord. But you know something? I'm going to tell you this. If it took the hell I went through to get me here, then I'd go back and do it again. Now, it doesn't have to. But see, that's the difference. Is for me, I had no choice. I had no choice. It was either death or it was going on into the things of God. And thank God that I went on to the things of God. But as I sit here and I look around, you know, I'm excited for what God is doing and what God is going to do. And there's so much. We haven't even scratched the surface yet. God has so much for us. He has so much that he wants for us. And that's what today is really about, praise the Lord. You know, most people are just looking for the victory. But the victory isn't the end of our faith. If needing victory over something is what brings you in, well, praise the Lord for it. But that's not where you're supposed to stay. You're not supposed to be continually fixed. Once you're saved, you're supposed to get revelation that God has fixed you. That he's provided a way for you to not just live for yourself anymore, but to live for him. And when you understand, now, of course, you say to the world, you know, God wants you to live for them. The world ain't going to understand what it means. They're not going to understand what it means to live for God because they're like, why do I need to live for a God that I don't see? And see, that's why they need us. Hallelujah. That's why they need Christians who are willing not to compromise, who are willing to do the best that they can and to live for God the best that they can because they need to see that. Amen? See, victory isn't the end. Living for God is. Praise the Lord. Being a Christian is not about constantly being fixed. Yes, there is truth that we constantly have a fix. We constantly have a way out. You know, the Bible tells us that with temptation, now God doesn't give us temptation. The Bible tells us that. God isn't tempting us. He isn't trying to get us to do wrong. He didn't lead me down bad paths. I did that on my own accord. But, you know, one thing we do understand about God is that he is trying to get us to the point where we understand that once we know where our fix is, that we walk in that fix and we live in that fix. So we don't have to be fixed. We live unbroken, praise the Lord. And then we show the world how to be unbroken. See, God intended so much more for Christians than just to be saved. God intended so much for Christians than just to maybe someday get to heaven. There's much more for us than that, praise the Lord. And how can we know this? Look around. Because even in this country, which once such a great country, and you look at a country that's all torn apart. You look at people who can't agree on anything, so much so that when somebody disagrees with somebody, that they got to hurt them. That they got to tear what's theirs apart. That they got to destroy it. And I'm talking, I don't care what side of the aisle you come from, it don't matter. Because people aren't good people anymore. People aren't living that way. This country is falling apart faster. You know, this week we went away on a small trip and we got to go down to to Philadelphia and we stopped at Independence Hall and we got to tour Independence Hall and that's where the Constitution was argued about and then signed. Praise the Lord. And you know the I really appreciated our tour guide because he had such. You could tell that he had such passion for the Constitution and our country. And this is maybe even a man that looking at him, you wouldn't have necessarily thought on the side, if you saw him on the side of the street, wouldn't have necessarily thought that he would have been that. And so, you know, but he was talking about it, and he was talking about how they debated things in that room, you know, and they all had different opinions, and they all came from different places, but they certainly weren't trying to kill each other. They weren't trying to tear each other apart. But see, this is what happens, and a lot of people don't understand that our country was built on a Christian foundation. I'm not saying that everything that was done was perfect and Christian-like. I'm not saying that everybody lived godly. I'm not saying that. But it was built, the very laws that govern this country were Christian principles. They came from the Bible. I said they came from the Bible. You cannot erase this from history. It's the truth, although some people like to deny that. But see, what we see now is we see the results of a nation that is continually turning away from God. You see, Jesus intended us to live victorious in life, not to tear ourselves apart. This country was built to be a great country, a great nation. The very blessing of God is on it, and we've seen that, and I didn't even plan on talking about all this, but it's the truth. The very blessing of God is here for us. It's here for us to walk. We are supposed to get an example closer to what God wants for us, and we're supposed to see that in this. But see, what happens is we become a society that is so full of people teaching people to do what matters to them and only them. You do what makes you happy and don't worry about someone else. You do what pleases you and don't worry about everybody else. And that's why you have what you have. And if you think that it's going to get better by adding more of that, you're sadly mistaken, and you'll see a country that you won't recognize even 8 years from now. Praise the Lord. But God has intended some wonderful things for us in life. And we first see that. We're going to look at Luke 2:14. Praise the Lord. I just want you to go ahead and look up here, because we'll have you turn to some other scriptures here in a minute. Luke 2:14. Usually we use this scripture at Christmas time. We love to recite this, and I think Linus from Charlie Brown that recited it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This is how the angels announced that Jesus was coming to the earth. You see, what Jesus did miraculously was not coming to the earth. That was miraculous in its own right. But that's not Christmas is the holiday we normally that people focus on. You know, they're like, oh yeah, and I love Christmas. Don't get me wrong. You know I love Christmas. But this is what Jesus was going to do. This was the purpose of his life. See, Jesus lived to die. He didn't come onto the earth to live. He lived to die. Now, I'm not saying that we all need to live to die, but I'm saying that's why Jesus was here. He lived to die because through his death, he was going to gain for us something that we couldn't obtain any other way. In fact, humans never even got close to it. God gave them laws, and they couldn't follow the laws. They broke the laws as fast as they could sometimes. And we still see people doing it. But see, what Jesus was about to do for us was the most amazing thing. 33 years later, roughly, after he entered the world, the goodwill, God's peace, goodwill towards man would be manifested. And you say, but Pastor Jeff, there's no peace. There's never been peace on earth. In fact, in the last 100 years, we've had more wars and more casualties by war than all the years in human history. So how is that? How is it? Because people don't live according to how God wants them to live. They haven't sought this Jesus. They haven't looked. They haven't taken time to look at it. See, you know, you'll have people out there, and they'll have scientific minds, and they'll study this and they'll study that, and they'll come up with all kinds of things and theories and thoughts and ideas, and they'll share them with the world, and they'll say this is the way it is. And then when they see religion, they'll say, "Oh, that's just religion. We'll just cast it to the side because that's just a bunch of hogwash. That's a bunch of mind stuff that doesn't have any base in truth." But the thing is, they never look at it. I have had arguments that never happened with people because they'll never even ask the simple question. They won't even give you the time of day. The same people that are these great thinkers, and they won't even think about what the Lord so perfectly wrote. See, people will reject the word of God, and they'll say, well, that was, and they always say the same things, it's always the same garbage wives' tales that they say about the Bible. Oh, it was written by man, and it was translated by man, and that's how you interpret it, and oh, but that doesn't apply to us today, and all this stuff. But see, here's the truth. When you find a Christian who truly wants to live after Christ and puts the word to practice, you see something that is undeniable. You see lives that change. See, I could not live outside of medication. I could not live outside of being helped, of being counseled, of being people. And that barely got me through. That maybe got me through one more day. There was times when I was hospitalized. This stuff didn't change. And it doesn't just change miraculously. It changed when the word of God was implanted into my life. And that word started doing exactly what it does. See, God is real. But because we don't see God working has nothing to do with the fact that God doesn't want to work. See, God wants to work for us. He wants to work through us. He wants to work in us. Praise the Lord. Jesus went about healing people without reservation. It didn't matter who they were. All they had to do was believe. That's what Jesus wanted. That was God's will. Peace, goodwill toward men. That was what God wanted. But do you see the church living in healing today? No, the church is some of the most sick people out there. Why? Because they don't know the word of God. They don't understand that the power of God manifests greater as the people come together and as they live in one accord in one place. And see, this is all scripture. I'm not making this up. This isn't my take on it. This is what the scripture says. It's written there for you to read. But see, if you don't read it or if you won't look at it, then you won't see that. But we also see that all throughout God's history on earth, that he only acted through faith. He only acted according to people's faith. Faith is what they would believe of him, what they would take from him, what they were willing to see in him. When people would latch onto God, that's when God could work, so much so that Jesus couldn't even heal people in his own hometown because they rejected him as God. And so people wonder where God is, and the truth is God hasn't left. People left God. They walked away from God. They put down the Bible and they stopped. See, when your tradition becomes more important to you than what the Word of God says, then you lose the power of God. Because the power of God is not found in your tradition. The power of God is not found in your sacraments or your rubbing of idols or your bowing down and praying to whoever. Your salvation is found when you seek the one true living God. When you seek out scripture, when you let scripture change you even when it challenges you. Oh, see, that's a big thing. Why does the world look at Christians and think they're fools? Because Christians say they profess Christ and then they go out there and they live differently. They profess Christ and then they show the world something that isn't Christ. And then they say, you're fool. They say, we're fools. They say, you're fool for going to that church because it doesn't change you. Praise the Lord. People have even tried to judge this church. Sometimes by the actions of people in it. Praise the Lord, it's the truth. They judge the Jamestown Church by the actions of people who are in it. But you know something? It's funny that the same standard they hold against a church of God, they won't hold against normal people, normal lives. Yeah. You know, if you judge Walmart by the employees or by the people who go there, you might never go there again. Praise the Lord. They make videos about it. But see, you can't judge the company by what the people around it are doing. But you can judge it by the ones that are doing it. Praise the Lord. Peace, goodwill towards men. God wanted peace on earth. It is up to us by learning about God to discover what his goodwill or his intent for us is. God's intent differs in that we learn from him what he intends is sure. If we learn from him. Let me say that again. God's intent differs in that if we learn from him. If we learn from him, then his intent for us will become sure. But his intent cannot be said just by what you see. See, people talk about that all the time. They say, well, this happened, must be God's will. No, the Bible says that it is God's will that all men should come to repentance. And we know that the Bible also tells us that wide is the gate to hell. That most people that you see will end up in hell, not in heaven. Most people you see will end up in hell and not in heaven. And Jesus paid for every single one. Every person who has died in the last 2,000 years that is in hell today, they are there because they didn't receive Jesus. That's it. There's no difference. Now, that can make some people mad, but it's the truth. What do you want? I can tell you the truth, and you can get in line with the truth and see how the truth works and then be happy about it. Or I can tell you the truth. You get mad at me for telling you the truth and then maybe swear at me and throw, you know, maybe try to silence me or do whatever you're going to do. But truth is truth. We can't change truth. It's not relative. Truth, I mean, if you go outside and you don't have any sunblock on, you're probably going to get sunburnt, especially on a day like today. Amen? If you jump off this building, even a bigger building. We were on top of a very big building this week. I don't like big buildings. I certainly don't like being, but I always go on top of them. Why is that? I don't know. But we went on top of the building, and I was sitting there thinking the whole time. I don't know why I was thinking about it was a long ways down. Like if, and then, of course, someone comes out the door, and the first thought is, what if they want to throw me over? no rational thought. You see how the devil works? There's no rational thought to that. But I'm thinking, yeah, that wouldn't be a good outcome. See, the truth is somebody came out the door and said, they're going to throw me over, and they threw me over. The truth is that I'm going to land. And the landing isn't going to be pleasant. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I probably won't walk away from it. See, truth is truth. It doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. God's intent is not autonomous. It will happen or not happen based on our application of it. See, this is a lie that has gotten into the church and has deceived so many Christians even, is that they think that God's will happen, that what God wants just happens because God's sovereign, isn't he? Everything that happens, happens by God's will and God's hands. And of course, again, in Scripture, nowhere will you ever, ever see that. You never see God playing puppet master. You see God directing people a certain way, and then you see those people doing something different than how he directed, and then you see those people getting into trouble, and then you see those people turning around and blaming God for what he did. And that's not what happened at all. But see, it's funny because people say, well, we're so much smarter than they were then, but we're doing the same thing today. We do the same things today. We come into church and we think, well, you know, if church is just a, if it's just a side thing, that's okay. But then as soon as something happens, they want God. They pray to God. Oh, Lord, help me, Lord. But he was saying, my church, you left my church. You didn't want nothing to do with my people. You wanted nothing to do with me. You didn't want to pray to me. You didn't want to spend time with me. You didn't want to learn anything more about me. But see, everybody is going to face a time in their life where there's somebody or something they need from God. They're going to face that come to Jesus moment, as I like to call them sometimes. They're going to face that moment in life where they're like, oh, Lord, there's nothing else I can do. I have nowhere else. The doctors can't help me. They say it's impossible. My friends can't help me. They say it's impossible. The banks can't help me. They say it's impossible. Now see, we have a God who is a God of possible. Victory in life. God has given us victory in life. Hosea 4:6. Again, I just want you to look up here real quick. I didn't intend to spend this much time in the introduction. But praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's only Easter, and we don't have a night service now, so we can just keep going. Just tonight, we don't have a night service. That's a joke. I mean, some of you look at me like, dear Jesus, is he serious? Look at what this says. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They aren't destroyed because I wasn't willing to help them. They aren't destroyed because their prayers wouldn't work. They're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests before me. That's the ability, if in case you didn't know, in the New Testament, being priest before him is the ability to go before God because nobody else could. In the Old Testament, they couldn't. Jesus paid for this. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Praise the Lord. This is what the truth is. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You cannot have a willful lack of knowledge and then expect God's power to be available in your life. You can't expect the victory of life. You can't expect to do anything that you're supposed to do or be right because you reject the knowledge of God. We have Christians that do this. These things ought not be so, but we have Christians who deny the power of God. They deny the presence of God. I sat before, I haven't preached before that many people, but I preached in front of enough to know the different looks that I get on people's faces. You know, regardless of what you think, when you're bored, I know you're bored. When you're tired, I know you're tired. When you don't want to be here, I know it. And if I can't tell by your face, I know it by the Spirit, praise the Lord. And I see, everybody's just got a big smile on their face all of a sudden. But see, that's the truth. When you don't like me, I know it. When you don't like what I'm saying, I know it, praise the Lord. And I thank God. Now see, I don't always call it out. I don't always say it. But the truth is, I know. Why? Because, see, God's put stuff in us to know these things. He's put stuff, and our faces will tell a whole lot, a whole story, praise the Lord. But we can't deny the one true living God. We can't deny his knowledge and his ability or what he said and then expect to have him working in our lives. Again, I was raised in a church. And nothing against the church. The people, a lot of people were great. As far as I knew, they're wonderful people. See them today, love them still. But they didn't teach me this stuff. I wasn't taught this stuff. In fact, anytime I seen a Christian go through something back then, it was always the end of the world. It was always like, oh, they didn't know what they were going to do. And I was never taught about faith. I was never taught about the one thing the Bible tells us pleases God is faith. Yeah. The one thing. And then the people will point us out and they say, you're one of those faith churches. You preach faith. Oh, I don't know about all that. It's the one thing that pleases God is our faith. And people reject it. His people reject it. They say, I don't want nothing to do with that message. I don't want nothing to do with that. Oh, you're a prosperity preacher. I'm only a preacher of the Bible. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I preach what the Bible says. You decide whether or not you want to apply it. You decide whether you want any part of it. And the amount that you decide is how much it will be active in your life. See, if you come in and you say, well, all that stuff is garbage, then that's what you're going to have. See, God has proven himself more and more and more. But people reject him because of their own willful ignorance. They are destroyed because they reject knowledge. You could say that anyone is destroyed for a lack of godly knowledge. See, it's not just a lack of knowledge, it's a lack of godly knowledge. Knowing how God works, knowing why God works, why he wants things done this way. See, so a lot of Christians can't even answer the most basic questions. I still go about this. People get off into stuff like angel worship. They think angels are everything other than what they are. And the Bible is very clear about angel worship, or about what angels are. They aren't humans. First of all, they never were humans. They never will be humans. Angels are angels, just like humans are humans. Just like a dog is a dog, a cat is a cat. And dear Jesus, and what should I say this today? It's Easter Sunday, but I will. A man is a man and a woman is a woman. Just the same. It doesn't change. Praise the Lord. If you could dig up an angel, you would find it's still an angel. If you knew what all that was. And angels are real. But see, people don't know this stuff because Christians, they just get these things. They spend more time thinking about trinkets and they think about, like, you know, we've been doing a lot of research and we get excited about this stuff. We like curiosity stuff, you know, and there's lots of Christian curiosity things out there. They have relics and they have all, oh, this is a part of the cross, or this is a thorn from the crown of thorns, or this is a nails that nailed Jesus to the cross. And they'll build whole shrines around them and they'll worship them and they'll go there and they'll be focused on that. If maybe, just maybe, these things will heal them or set them free. I mean, this happens all over the world. And when Jesus died, he said, I give you authority to trample over. See, you don't have to get into stuff. You ain't got to get all goofy and weird about things. All you got the, if you know the truth of the word, it tells you got the authority. This is the victory of life, that you have authority to trample demons and scorpions, which are demons and worldly power or otherworldly powers. But see, you wouldn't know that if you don't know the word, and you wouldn't know that that's important if you didn't know that the whole world is controlled either by good or bad and evil spirits or good spirits. It's the truth. There are things that are influenced all the time. Praise the Lord. Because God didn't intend us to be evil-minded. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. I've had plenty of people who are not living as Christians come to me and say, I know I need to come to church. They'll say this to me. I know I need to come to church. I have this one young man. Every time I see him at the place, I see him at the place he works, and I never even approached him first. We just knew each other, and he found out I was a Christian, and then he found out I was a pastor, and so then he started talking to me about church. Well, praise the Lord. If somebody wants to talk to me about church, I'll talk to him about church. And so that's exactly what he did. And every time I see him, he's like, I'm coming. I'm like, we're still there. But he never does. And what's the deal? See, God is dealing with their hearts. But you see, we still have a willful choice of whether or not we'll accept it or not. We have the choice to come to Christ or not. People have the choice. Christians come into church. There'll be some Christians that will come to church, they'll live the same all their lives, and they'll never change much. And then you'll see some Christians come in and their lives just, they skyrocket. Why is it? Because God loved them more, obviously. Right? God loved that one. No, it's because they did the word. If you do the word, it's the same for everybody. See, that's what I love about God. All other religions, they have some form of separating you and making you right and you not right and you not good. Oh, you got Muslims. Well, I said it came right out and said it. You got Muslims who hate Jews. No matter what, they're going to hate them. No matter what, they're going to hate them. Why? Because that's what their doctrine says. They have to. But see, Jesus was different. He said, I don't care if you're a Muslim. I don't care if you're a Jew. I don't care if you're black, white, green, purple. I don't care if you're 10 feet tall or 2 feet tall. I don't care. If you come to me and do the same thing, you get the same result. The same result. It's open to all of us. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you like or how smart you think you are or how dumb you are. Praise the Lord. I've seen intelligent people as Christians, and then there's people like me. Praise the Lord. It's just by the grace of God do I get to even stand up here and talk. People say, well, praise the Lord. They don't understand. But see, it's a sign and wonder. God will do things in who he's got to do them in and who will listen. Amen? God is dealing with the heart, and they're rejecting the ability for knowledge. See, they could have the ability to be God's people. They also people, that's another thing I've heard a lot of Christians say, we're all God's children. We are not all God's children. The Bible is clear. If you have not received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then you are not God's child. You are not. You have the ability to, the same ability that everyone else does. But if you do not receive him as your personal Lord and Savior, you are not his child. And therefore, you do not have the rights to the things that God has for his children. That is the difference. There are Christians that are in churches that they don't even know what it means to be a child of God. And so they never receive those things that God has for them. How can you know that Jesus paid for this if you don't know it, if you just reject it? Oh, praise the Lord. 2 Peter 1:2. Go ahead and turn there. Finally having you turn somewhere. Praise the Lord. Your Bibles were getting stiff. Your fingers were cramping up. But now you can flex those muscles. Get to 2 Peter 1:2. See, if I had you turn to those other scriptures, we would have lost at least 5 minutes of sermon time, and I just can't afford that today. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter 1:2. Grace and peace. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace. Do you know what grace and peace is? If I took a poll in this church, I almost guarantee you that you really probably, a lot of people couldn't tell me what grace and peace really is. I took the liberty. And see, this is part of what we do at church. This is why I do the things. This is why we present scripture in the way that we do. Because this is the purpose of coming to church. It's to learn stuff like what grace and peace means. Because you could read over this and think, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. You probably just skip right past that. But grace and peace literally means God's ability to live effectively and his rest that comes along with it. Rest. Rest is an earmark of Christianity. Rest is something that God provided for us. Rest, peace is said, goodwill, peace and goodwill towards men. Peace towards men. Do you know what peace is? It's rest. It's God's rest. He wants you to be relaxed. God loves the word relax. God created the word relax. We should take down that scripture back there and write on the back in big, bold letters, relax. See, God wants you to relax. This doesn't mean lazy. It doesn't mean not doing anything, but God wants his people to rest. But God's people are the least rested people in the world. I got to always do this and go to do that. I don't know what I got to do. I just got to do something. Praise the Lord. I don't, up, down, left, right, right, left. Hallelujah. Whatever way, backward, forward. I got that one right. Almost. Praise the Lord. Relax. Relax. He wants you to relax. God, he wants you, because he gives you the ability to live effectively. Oh, he gives us the ability to live effectively. And therefore, if you find what that ability is and you learn how to work that ability in your life, then you can relax. Because you know it's not by your power. I don't preach by my own ability. You might not think that this is good, but this is a lot better than what would come out of me if God's ability wasn't there. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm not saying I'm the best preacher in the world, but I'm saying I'm a lot better than what I was. I know that. Because I was with me before. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Grace, God's ability to live effectively, not just live, effective life. You know how many Christians will say, you can never really know. Oh, yes, you can. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit, part of his job is to show us things to come. He's going to show us things to come. He's going to show us what's coming. That means something you don't know yet, something you haven't seen yet, something that isn't here yet, something you can't even imagine, something you can't figure out. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will show us those things to come. But people want to reject the Holy Spirit. They don't want the Holy Spirit stuff. Jesus said to us, he said to his disciples, he's like, I have to leave. And they said, please, Jesus, don't leave. And he said, I have to leave. He said, please, Jesus, don't leave. And he said, I have to leave. Because if I don't leave, he can't come. Who is he? He is the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. He will tell you. He will take from what I said, and he will declare it to you. He will remind you who you are. Amen. Oh, but we don't want that Holy Spirit. That's weird. Hokey pokey, hokey pokey, hocus pocus. Hokey pokey, hokey pokey, hokey pokus. Say that 10 times fast. It's weird, it's goofy. No, it's not, it's God. But see, if you're not acquainted with God, if you're not acquainted with his word, then that would make no sense to you. You'd be like, oh, I don't know about that. Do you know how many times I've had people say to me, you know, maybe I've been a Christian all my life. I've been a Christian all my life, and I never heard this stuff. It isn't because I'm so smart, I'm going to tell you. I told you before, I'm a high school dropout. I went back and got my good enough diploma. I wasn't worth much to the world, but I'm okay as a preacher. Hallelujah. God said I can use that. Why? Because I was willing. See, God's ability does not line up with the world's ability. Praise the Lord. Because God doesn't care about that stuff. He doesn't care about talent. Thank the Lord he doesn't care about talent. Hallelujah. But see, God has an ability that he wants in us, that he puts in us. He has an ability to give us, to operate, to do. This ability is the victory of life. This is how we can live effectively. This is how, seriously, this is how a businessman can know that the business venture he's getting into is right and good. And not there's not the risk when you have the Holy Ghost. There's not this fear of the unknown, because God always wants us to prosper. But you say, but God's people don't prosper. That's because God's people don't read the Word. They don't get into the Word. They don't hear the Word. They don't care about the Word. You present them with the Word, and they say, I don't care about all that. This is how I feel. This is what I think. This is my idea of what it should be. I'm not preaching anything different than what Jesus taught, than what Paul taught. I'm not saying I preach is good, but I'm saying I didn't preach anything different. Why? Because I'm reading their words. I'm preaching the things that they said. Listen, it comes down to this. We can either believe it or not, but if we reject it, we need to just reject the whole thing and just go on doing what we're going to do. But I'm going to tell you right now that rejecting it isn't a fun place to live. You're going to have trial anyways. You might as well have it with the ability to live effectively. Praise the Lord. So anyway, 2 Peter 1:2, it says, God's ability to live effectively and his rest be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Savior. Praise the Lord. Please go back there to verse 2. Is multiplied to us in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Savior. Jesus our Lord. Savior. Same thing. This is where it's multiplied. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The knowledge of God and the knowledge of Jesus. The knowledge of God. They reject the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Jesus. See, if you reject it, you can't get to that place where you live effectively. Living opposite God's way will not create peace and effective living in your life. Oh, praise the Lord. Now you can go to verse 3. As his divine power has given. Look at this. Christian, non-Christian, whoever you are, his divine power has given. It already has. Jesus died 2,000 years ago, give or take a few. Jesus died then. And when he died, when he paid that price, his divine power had already given at that point all things that pertain to what? Life and godliness. If you want to live right, if you want to live good, if you want to live in the blessing of God, if you want to be godly before God, and you should be, his divine power has already given it to us. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. It's already been, there's that word again, knowledge. It's already been given to us by knowledge, but if we reject knowledge, then we reject him. If we reject the word, we reject him. If we reject anything that God said, we reject him. We can't have salvation unless we believe the word about salvation. Praise the Lord. I want to read this, verse 3, in the Amplified, though. 2 Peter 1:3 in the Amplified. You'll just go ahead and look at it up here. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness, so required and able to work in life and godliness, through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence. Praise the Lord. We've already been given it. We've already had these promises. Praise the Lord. Now we're not done. Let's go back to we'll go to verse 4. By which we have been given to, by which have been given to us, and this is so important. And this is, again, this is why we're here today. This is why we have Easter Sunday. This is what Easter Sunday is all about. This is what Jesus paid for. Resurrection Sunday, whatever you want to call it. This is what Jesus paid for. By which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Promises of health. and healing, promises. But you can't receive it without knowledge. I said, you can't. It's not about God's will. He already proved his will by sending Jesus here to live here among us and heal people and say that this is my will. And then it tells us in 2 Peter 2:4? Am I got that right? 2 Peter 2:4, it says that he has healed us. By his stripes we have been healed. So why don't Christians live in healing? The knowledge of God. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. That through these you may partake of the divine nature which does not face death. Now, will we all die? Yes, we're all going to die at some point. Why? Because our flesh inherently is corrupted by sin. It's going to happen. We understand that. But it doesn't have to be the way that people think it does. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. I lay down my life. Paul decided when it was time for him to go home. Yes, you can find these things in scriptures. The Bible tells us with long life I will satisfy. Why? Because us, a good Christian not here, doesn't do God much good. Because a good Christian here is doing the work of God. So then why? Wait a minute, why did that attack come against a good Christian person? Oh, Aunt Sally, she was a great person. She loved the Lord and all this stuff, and she died young. Well, I don't know what she was taught. I don't know what she was taught. But I do know this. I know according to the word, without being taught, right, we can't receive what God has because God is not up in heaven orchestrating everything that happens on earth. That is not what God intended, and it never was. And if you don't believe me, turn to your book of Genesis and see what he said to Adam. God looked at Adam and he said, you have dominion over the earth. You subdue it. You take care of it. I give you authority, Jesus said when he died. He didn't say I was going to sit there and do it. No, God does operate, but God can only operate through people who do the word, who ask him to operate. But see, listen, this is the thing. Christians are going to God and they're saying, well, if it's your will, then heal me. If it's your will, get me out of this mess. If it's your will, if it's your will, if it's your will, he said, find out what my will is. He said, get in the word and find out. Why? Because it only happens by faith. The just shall live by faith. What does that mean? It does not mean that they will live by, I'm Catholic, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Pentecostal. That is not what faith is. Faith is what you actually believe God to be. You can have faith for God for one thing and not have faith for another. But because something happens to you that is out of the will of God does not mean that it was God's will. Praise the Lord. But he did say, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The Jews were destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Christians are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Christians continually be destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Why do Christians not live victoriously? Not because Jesus didn't pay for it. He said you're going to have a devil that's going to come after you, is going to try to take stuff for you. In this life, you will have trial, you will have persecution, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Why did he say that? Did he say, I have overcome the world because, you know, hey, see, look what I did and you can't, but that's all right. You just keep looking at me. Maybe someday you'll get to heaven. That is not why he said that. He said he wants you to live effectively. He wants you to live effectively. Do we not see that efficiently? Able, with God's grace, the ability of God. How do we conquer the things that come at us in life? Well, if you just conquer it by your own natural means, then eventually you'll fail. Why? Because you can only do so much in the flesh. You say, well, I can do a lot. Eventually, you won't be able to. Have pride in yourself. I've seen this before. Have pride in yourself and what you can do. You're going to be brought to your knees. I'm telling you right now, life will bring you to your knees. Why? Because God is up there. He wants to just come down on you. God hates you so much. Oh, God is so mad. No, it has nothing to do with that. Because there is a devil on this earth. God said there is a devil, and he is after your peace. He is after your ability. He is after your faith. He doesn't want you to make it, and he doesn't want you to get anyone else to make it. Praise the Lord. And what happens in the meantime? Well, Christians, if they are Christians, they curl up in a ball and they lose faith and they forget about God. And the whole time they're concentrating on what they can't do or what their trial is or what their trouble is. And the whole time there are people out there who are never even hearing about salvation. I didn't even know there was a Lord. I didn't even know there was a Savior. I had no idea. See, the victory of life is living as Christ intended us to live. Praise God. What does it mean to partake? Divine nature. The total of the attribute. This is what this is. I want to go back to that. Verse 4. By which we have given have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, through what? Through those promises, you may be partakers. Partakers of the divine nature. You may be partakers. What does it mean to partake? We're gonna have communion here a little bit. Anybody who wants to can partake. What does that mean? You're gonna receive the elements. They're gonna be doing their thing to you. Hallelujah. Whatever they do. If you just put it aside, if I just put a big vat of grape juice up here and said, hey, we're all gonna just drink grape juice. We're not gonna have communion. We're just gonna drink grape juice. What will you do if you partake? You will be drinking grape juice. You will be having it. It will be part of you, right? Okay. That you may be partakers of the divine nature. Well, what is this divine nature? Nobody knows about it. Divine nature literally means the total of the attributes and powers that make God, God, and not human. You can partake in that. You can have the world, but I want the ability. I want the divine nature of the creator of this world. You can have all that you want out there. You can have riches, you can have all those things, but I want the one who created it all. Why? Because when I got that, it doesn't matter what happens. If one fails, then it's just another one's there. Divine nature, divine power. I have seen people healed miraculously. You can deny it all you want, but I have personally known people who have, my dear baby girl was one of them. Miraculously healed. Doctor said one thing, Jesus said another. Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to trust in? See, we're all faced with it. But here's the thing. Here's the ultimate truth of it all. And this goes for Christians and non-Christians alike. Even if I believed and I missed it somewhere and I still got taken out, it's better to spend one day in heaven than to spend eternity in hell. Or it's better to spend eternity in hell than one day in, or eternity in heaven than one day in hell. I mean, it is such a terrible, terrible thing. You don't want part of it. Praise the Lord. Divine nature, the total attributes and powers that make God, God, and not human. What separates him from us? What will separate you from the world? The power of God and the knowledge of him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you know this is the time where I skip most of the scripture that I came with. Praise the Lord, because we got to get to some... We got to get to some things, but I want you to turn here to just go to Ephesians 1:3. See, that's the thing. That's what I love about this. I tell you that on purpose. I tell you I script, and you can look at it. Why? Because when I prepared the message, there's a ton of scripture I didn't put in because I didn't think I'd even get to this. And so I tried to get through this, and there's this stuff we preach is not like, oh, this is one little corner over here in the Bible. No, we're not like people that take things out of context and say, well, we're just going to preach on this because it sounds good, because I like this. Praise the Lord. But I want you to see something in here. I want you to see, and Ephesians is a great book because this tells a Christian who they are and what they have, all this stuff. Praise the Lord. It'll teach you a lot about your faith if you want to know about it. But starting in 1, verse 3, I love this. Because, of course, Paul writes this to the Ephesians. But I want you to know, I want you to pay attention in this these passages as we read them, as I read them to you, and you look at them up there in your Bible. I want you to pay attention to how many times it says, in him. Amen? Starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, who has blessed us. Everybody say, has blessed.
Has blessed.
Has blessed. That means you already got it. Has means past tense. It means it's already there. It's already there. It's waiting for you to pick it up. Praise the Lord. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Everything was created spiritually. So everything you need can be found in the spiritual realm. Praise the Lord. Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him, right? There's the first one. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. Before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So basically it's just saying he already, before the foundation of the earth, he already decided he was going to make a way for us. Praise the Lord. To the praise of his, and this is why it doesn't make any sense when people say, oh Lord, would you please, do they go to God like it's asking for a favor and he may or may not do it. This is why that doesn't make any sense. And praying like this doesn't make any sense. Because, and that's not faith, by the way. And that doesn't please God. To the praise and glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Praise the Lord. In him, verse 7, we have redemption through his blood. And the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In him, we have the redemption through his blood. We have it. We already have it. Praise the Lord. It's ours. Redemption. That's the ability to move forward without sin. Sin is what ensnares us, what keeps us back. This, we already have it. Verse 8, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Okay, so then we see, where does it abound to us? Through wisdom and prudence. You say the knowledge, the understanding of it. Amen? Having made known to us the mystery of his will. Again, here we go. I'm going to bring this up because I know we have some people in here that aren't always here and won't always hear or haven't always heard me say this. But people say, well, God works in mysterious ways. That is a lie from the pit of hell. He says right here, he's laid it all out, exactly how he works. The Bible tells us how God works and what he wants for our life and what he wants us to do. If you say that God works in mysterious ways, and if you said it today, I'll forgive you. But if that's something you say on a regular basis, you need to correct what you say because it's wrong. It's a lie from the devil. God does not work in mysterious ways. He tells us how he works. He tells us how we're supposed to work. He tells us why it works and why it doesn't work. He tells us what will happen if we don't work it. And when it doesn't happen because we didn't work it, we can't go to God and say, why do you work in mysterious ways? It doesn't work that way. See? Praise the Lord. Which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. He purposed in himself to have good pleasure of goodwill towards men, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. Praise the Lord. That means you can't do it without him. In him. Verse 11. We have obtained an inheritance. You already got that inheritance. Amen, sister. Already have it. You have obtained. Well, why don't I have God's inheritance? Because you're not in him. You get in him, you find out how he works, you find out what he does, and you obtain that inheritance. That's exactly what we're living in. That's why I don't live. When we came into the church, we were dirt poor. 10 years later, not because I make less today than I did 10 years ago. When we came into church, I make less today than I did when I came into the church. And today we have 10 times more than we ever have. And we have the peace and joy. Why? Because, well, the church is for it all. No. Because God is good. And his word is true. And his word works. It's not just about obtaining things because our focus isn't things. If our focus was things, we certainly wouldn't be starting another church. If our focus were things, we certainly wouldn't be giving over 30% of our income to the church every year. We certainly wouldn't be trying to strive to give more. Yeah, absolutely. There's people that will sit there. They'll sit there and get mad at me if I bring up one idea of an offering. They'll get mad at the idea of bringing $5. We give thousands of dollars a year out of that income, which is less than what we came in with. Why does it work? Because God works. God is real. And if you want to deny it, then deny it. But that's your own foolish ignorance, and you will go without. Hallelujah. But we will still go with, and I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm not going to be sad about it. When I got, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, I just had a moment. I love the Lord. If you haven't, I love what God has done. Because he took somebody who was an absolute loser, just a worthless case of nothingness. Praise the Lord. I wasn't worth the dirt I was made of. And he took me and made me somebody that could be used to help his people. He made me somebody that can be used to change lives. Hallelujah. And he'll do the same for each and every person in here. That's why I get bold about it. I ain't get mad at you. I don't get mad. I get mad at the devil. If you think I'm mad at you, I ain't mad at you. But I'll tell you what, those bad thoughts that you have against God, I don't care how long you've been serving. I have bad thoughts against God sometimes, and I have to correct it. Why? Because it's a devil. You just don't know it's a devil yet. I'm just correcting thoughts that you don't know that you aren't having by yourself. See, you think that everything you think was thought by you, but it wasn't thought by you. It was thought by somebody else. It was put there by somebody else who was putting it in your head because they didn't want you to think the thoughts of Christ. Amen. That's exactly the way, that's the truth to it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Cody, you're right. We need the AC on today. Praise the Lord. In him we have obtained inheritance, being predestined. We're almost done here, I promise. Well, there's this part. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things to go, according to the counsel of his will. All things work according to the counsel of his will. It doesn't work separately from that. It works together with that. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. He is the guarantee that God wasn't lying. That's what that means, basically. So what is the victory on earth? It is living for Christ. That's our victory. That's what we have, and that's our message. Hallelujah. If you want to live for Christ, then you will have victory over everything. You will walk over mountains. You will move mountains. You will look at things that come up before you, rise before you. Your enemies will come before you, will flee 1,000 different ways. Why? Because you have Christ in you, and you know it. The devil will be afraid of you. You'll send him packing. Hallelujah. You send his demons packing. There ain't nothing you got to be afraid of. Glory to God. The victory is living for Christ. Is the ability to live for Christ in such a way that is miraculous and brings glory to his name. Because that's what we're all about. As much as you think about it, I'm not here for you, I'm here for him. I'm here because God placed me here. I'm here by his ability, and I want to please him. I want to glorify him. And every single time I see a life change, I go, glory to God. Hallelujah. It brings glory to his name. When people in this town, or in any other town, when they see somebody, when people see me and they knew how I lived and they see me now, they're like, how did that happen? God, glory to God. Brings glory to his name. Amen. Well, now, you know, that's the end of our sermon. And it's right and fitting. We haven't taken communion in a while. We don't do it on a schedule. And this is something that's very important that Jesus left us with. He did this right with his disciples right before he left. And we need to understand just a little bit. And I'm not going to take much time, but I'm going to explain to you what this is about. Okay? So we're going to take, this is where we take the juice. Some places use wine. We don't use wine because we don't like to mess with alcohol. So we're going to use the juice. And we're going to use the wafers. And it is representative of something. Growing up, I never knew what it was. In fact, until about 5 years ago, I had no idea what communion was all about. I just knew it was, I just liked the juice. I didn't even like the wafers. But, you know, when you're hungry and you're waiting for lunch, you know, the wafers sound pretty good. Can I have an extra one? You know, give me 4 wafers. Praise the Lord. What's the purpose of it? So we're going to show you here. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. Just go ahead and look up here. If you take down the reference if you want to look at it later. This is our instruction. These are our instructions in communion and what we're supposed to do. So why do we do the things that we do? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we just say? He gives us the victory through our Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That is not what I wanted to read, sorry. 1 Corinthians 11:26. That was one of the scriptures I skipped, but I gave it to you anyways. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. At least give me a courtesy chuckle. That was heartfelt. 1 Corinthians 11:26. Here we go. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. In my Bible, the next part says, examine yourselves. And this is what this is about. This is what communion is about. We are, as often as we do it, we are proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. We're talking about what he did. Amen? Therefore, verse 27, therefore, whoever eats of this bread or drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That's not a good thing. That means that you'll hold the charge of sacrificing him, essentially, killing him. Amen? But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 29, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not, this is where it is, not discerning the Lord's body. Does anyone know what the Lord's body is? It is his church. Jesus told us that the body of Christ is a church. We are told all through Scripture the body of Christ is the church. The church, folks, is you and I. Not discerning the Lord's body, what is that? This is what it's talking about by drinking in an unworthy, eating or drinking in an unworthy manner. We need to consider the importance of what God's body is to us. we have to consider what the importance of what he did for us. As you can go ahead and come up, Mark, and get prepared. I know you're going to want to. We have to consider what he did and why he did it, who he did it for, and the importance of coming together and having these times together. It's important that we come together. It's important that we think about the body of Christ first. I'm going to tell you right now, and this may come as a shock to you, but the body of Christ comes first to me in my life. Why? Because that's exactly the way God intended it to. Why? Because if you even understood the importance and the power that comes together when we come together. But see, not discerning that is not understanding that is thinking unworthily. Did I say that right? Okay, thanks. My school teacher wife, she needs to help me sometimes with my words, because when I use those big words, praise the Lord, hallelujah. See what I mean? I can't even use a little. For he who drinks, let me see, where was I? Verse 29, for he who drinks, that's where I was. For this reason, in verse 30, this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. This means that we look at ourselves, we examine ourselves. Lord, is there an area that I need to correct? That's the purpose of this. This time is for us to reflect on what he did for us, and what are we doing for him? Praise the Lord. Does that make sense? Do we know what it is? Now maybe some of all of you knew that and said, I knew that, Pastor Jeff. Well, I didn't, so I'm just sharing it with you. I'm sharing that knowledge. Praise the Lord. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And now we're going to pass out the elements. What's the requirement? Go ahead, ushers, you can come up and get ready. What's the requirement for the elements? It's real, for taking this? It's real simple. Just have a heart towards God. You can take it if you have a heart towards God. If you want to do the things, if you want to live a life towards him, then take it. Praise the Lord. You know, if you're hungry, wait till the lunch afterwards. That's why we provided a lunch. So you don't get hungry now. But we're going to pass out the bread first. Go ahead and take up and as he passes out, or actually we're going to pass them out together. But as they pass them out, maybe we should do this more often, just so I remember the exact order and everything. But we're going to, as he passes these out, Marky's going to sing a song. And, of course, I want you to focus on the Lord and stuff, but I want you to listen to the song and listen to what's the words of the lyrics that are being sung. I think we're going to put them up here. We're going to put them up here as he's singing it, because it's really important to think about what all this is, discerning the Lord's body. Amen? So brothers, you can go ahead and start. Marky, you can go ahead and start. And when he's done, I will come up and instruct everybody on how to take it.
The moon and stars, they went. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross. His love poured out. The Son of God is laid in us. Battle in the grave. The war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broke. The ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted. Thank you. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Lamb is overcome. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
Lord. On 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 25, we're given the instruction on taking the elements. Verse 23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Father, we thank you for these elements, this food, this bread and this juice, Lord. And Lord, we receive it now as a blessing to our bodies. And we thank you, Lord, for the price that you paid to bring us to this point. So now you can go ahead and break it and eat it. Verse 25 says, "In the same manner, he also took this cup after supper, saying, 'This is a cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And before we drink it, I want to remind you of the message I preached today was about victory in life. This cup is the new covenant. That's the new covenant, is the victory that he paid for. So now we can drink this, remembering that and thinking about that. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you that you've paid such a great and wonderful price for us. Lord, we thank you that you've provided a way for us all to not just live to live for you, but to live in victory, Lord. So we praise you for it. Now, before we go, real quick, all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Please, nobody looking around. We do this. We give this opportunity every week because it just wouldn't be right to have it without giving the opportunity. But maybe you've come here today and maybe you've never heard it. Maybe you heard this before. But you know that you need to receive the Lord, and you never have. You know, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, God will raise him, or God will save you, that you are saved. So you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So if that's you, with all heads bowed, all eyes closed, nobody's looking around, we're not going to call you up. But if that's you, if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to today, it's real simple. All we're going to do is have you lift your hand up and we're going to all pray a prayer with you right there in your seats. We're not going to have you come forward. We're not going to have you say anything in front of the church, but just we're going to pray a prayer with you. So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to, go ahead and lift up your hand real quick. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I see those hands. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I want to give one more opportunity. Maybe you had received the Lord before. Or maybe you knew God, but you've walked away from him. And I don't mean that you made a few mistakes, but I mean you just completely walked away from him. And you'd like to get back in his grace. You know, the Bible says that we're never too far away from God, that we can't be found, and that he will meet us right there. But we have to take that effort. So if that's you and you'd like to come back into his grace, go ahead and lift up your hand too real quick. Thank you, Lord. I see those hands. Thank you, Lord. I see the hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Father, well, thank you, Lord, for those hands. Now, if you raise your hand for either of those, I just want you to repeat. We're all going to pray this prayer together, but if you raise your hand to any of those, just speak out. Pray this out with us. Speak this out. I'm going to lead you in it. But pray this out, mean it from your heart, and then you know that it'll be done for you. And I just want to say this. It's not the raising of our hands that get us saved or that rededicates our life. It's the willingness of our heart and the confession in our mouth. So maybe you were too shy to raise your hand, which is always a possibility. I remember there was times when I was too shy, when I knew I needed to. But if you were too shy, you just pray this prayer with us, and you'll be just as saved or just as back in God's graces as the rest of us were. So go ahead and repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for Jesus. I believe that he died for my sins so that I could live a victorious life. Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. You don't have to say many amens. I just like to. Amen means so be it. So I say it a lot sometimes, but so be it. Praise the Lord. So be it. It is done. As we like to say, there's always a party in heaven when a sinner comes to repentance, or even when a lost one, you know, in the Bible, we're told the story of the prodigal son. When he came back, praise the Lord, they threw a huge party for him, a party like they never throw before. Why? Because when a sinner returns to repentance, praise the Lord, it means victory in heaven and defeat of the devil. Amen?